Chapter 1. The Perfect City. False Angels. Day of Judgment. The first falling star came down in the heart of the perfect city. The crowds were always dense and boisterous in the plaza's midnight markets, yet everything fell silent when the sky wept fiery trails and the stars fell to earth in a stately drift. The crowds parted, forming a ring around the huge arrival as it came down. Only when it came closer could the people see the truth. It wasn't a star at all. It wasn't formed of fire. It was breathing it from howling engines. A smoke cloud drifted out from the downed craft, stinking of scorched oil and off-world chemicals. The ship's hull was viciously avian, a raptor's body of cobalt blue and dull gold. Its underbelly gleamed orange, bright with the hissing heat of orbital descent. Cyrene Valantion was one of the gathered crowd, and 3 weeks shy of her 18th birthday. Whispers started up around her, whispers that became chants, chants that became prayers. Jagged thunder echoed from nearby streets and plazas, the grumble of great engines and wheezing boosters. More of the stars that were not stars came raining down from heaven. The very air rattled with the hum of so many engines. Each breath tasted of exhaust. The dark-hulled emissary from the sky was emblazoned with the symbol of the Holy Eagle, fire-blackened from its dive through the atmosphere. Cyrene's vision twinned, blurring between what she was seeing now and what she'd seen in artistic renderings in childhood. She was far from being one of the faithful, but she knew this craft, elaborately brought to life in pictures of vibrant inks on scrolls of parchment. Such imagery was scattered throughout the scriptures. And she knew why the elders in the crowd were weeping and chanting. They recognized it too, but not merely from the holy codices. Decades ago, they'd borne witness to the same vehicles arriving from heaven. Cyrene watched as people fell to their knees, lifting their hands to the starry skies and weeping in prayer.
"They have returned,"
one old woman was murmuring. She spared a moment from her obeisance to claw at Cyrene's flowing shawl robe.
"On your knees, ignorant whore."
By now, the whole crowd was chanting. When the old woman reached for her leg again, Cyrene shook herself free of the hag's wrinkled talon.
"Please don't touch me," Cyrene said.
It was tradition never to touch those who wore red shawl robes without first gaining the maiden's permission. In her fervency, the old woman ignored the ancient custom. Her fingers raked the younger woman's skin through the street dress's thin silk.
"On your knees! They have returned!"
Cyrene went for the Qatari knife strapped to her naked thigh. Slender, ornamented steel gleamed amber in the firelight reflected from the skycraft.
"Don't touch me!"
With a hissed curse, the old woman returned to her prayers. Cyrene took a deep breath, seeking to slow her frenetic pulse. The air heated her throat, prickling at her tongue with the charcoal spice of thruster smoke. So they had returned. The angels of the God Emperor had returned to the perfect city. She didn't feel the rush of reverence, nor did she fall to her knees and thank the God Emperor for his angel's second coming. Cyrene Valantion stared at the vulture hull of the iron craft, while one question burned behind her eyes.
"They have returned,"
the old woman murmured again.
"They have returned to us."
"Yes," said Cyrene.
"But why?"
Movement from the craft came without warning. Thick doors clanged wide, and a ramp juddered down on squealing pneumatics. Between gasps and nervous weeping, the worshipful chanting grew louder. The people intoned prayers from the word, and the last of those standing finally dropped to their knees. Cyrene was the only person left on her feet. The first of the angels stepped from the thinning smoke cloud. Cyrene stared at the figure, her eyes narrowing despite the exalted rightness of the moment. A sliver of ice wormed through her blood. As if one girl's whispered protest could possibly change what was happening, she breathed a single word.
"Wait!"
The angel's heavy armor was at immediate odds with the images from Scripture. It stood unadorned by the holy parchments that should detail its holiness in flowing script. nor was it clad in the winter grey of the God Emperor's true angels. This one's armour, like the craft it emerged from, was a deep and beautiful cobalt, trimmed with bronze, so polished it gleamed close to gold. Its eyes were slanted red slits in a stoic face mask. "Wait," Cyrene said again, louder this time. "These are not the bearers of the word." The old woman hissed at her blasphemy and spat on her bare feet. Cyrene ignored her. Her gaze never left the warrior armoured in cobalt, so subtly and distinctly different from the scriptures she'd been forced to study as a child. The angel's brethren emerged from the dark interior of their landing craft and descended to the plaza. All wore armour of the same blue. All of them carried great weapons, too heavy for a mortal man to lift unaided. "They are not the bearers of the word," she raised her voice above the chanting. Several people kneeling around her replied with harsh whispers and potent curses. Cyrene was drawing breath to call out the accusation a third time when the angels, moving in inhuman unison, raised their weapons and aimed into the crowd of worshippers. The sight stole the breath from her throat. The first angel spoke, its voice deep and raw, filtered through hidden speakers in its face mask. "People of Monarchia, capital city of 4710, hear these words. We, the warriors of the 13th Legion, are oathed to this moment, honour sworn to this duty. We come bearing the Emperor's decree to the 10th world brought to compliance by the 47th expedition of humanity's Great Crusade." All the while, the dozen angels kept their weapons aimed at the kneeling civilians. Cyrene could see the muzzles were as charred as the vulture craft's hull, darkened from firing shells of monstrous size. "Your compliance with the Imperium of the Man has held for 61 years. With the greatest regret, the Emperor of Mankind demands that all living souls abandon the city of Monarchia immediately. Moments ago, your planetary leaders were given the same warning. This city is to be evacuated within 6 days. On the final day, your planetary leaders will be allowed to send a single distress call." The crowd kept silent, but their stares were now of confusion and disbelief, not reverence. As if sensing a drift in their attention, the angel aimed its weapon into the air and fired a single shot. The gunshot banged like a thunder peal, rolling around a valley, storm-loud in the silence. "No one is to remain in Monarchia by dawn of the 7th day. Go now to your homes, gather your belongings, evacuate the city. Resistance will be met with bloodshed."
"Where will we go?" a female voice called from the transfixed crowd. "This is our home."
The first angel turned his weapon, aiming directly at Cyrene. It took several seconds for the young woman to realize she'd been the one to speak. It took much less time for those near her to break and flee, leaving her in an ever-expanding patch of sudden isolation. The angel repeated its words, its emotionless inflection no different from before.
"No one is to remain in Monarchia by dawn of the 7th day. Go now to your homes, gather your belongings, evacuate the city. Resistance will be met with bloodshed."
Cyrene swallowed, saying nothing more. Cries and jeers rang out from the crowd. A bottle crashed against one of the angel's helms, shattering into glass rain, and as several others shouted out demands to know what was happening, Cyrene turned and ran. Where the crowd wasn't already fleeing with her, she forced her way through the press of people. The throaty chatter of the angel's weapons started up a handful of seconds later, as the God Emperor's messengers opened fire on the rioting crowd. 3 days later, Cyrene was still in the city. Like many of the people calling Monarchia home, Cyrene's dusky skin was a legacy of her ancestors' lives in the equatorial deserts, and she had handsome eyes of a light brown that were rather like burnt auburn. Sun-lightened hazel hair fell in tumbling locks over her shoulders. At least her more infatuated lovers described her in such terms. This was the picture her mind painted, though she no longer saw it when she looked in the mirror. Now her eyes were ringed from 2 nights without sleep, and her mouth was soured by dehydration. Exactly how things had come to this point remained a mystery. Across the city, resistance to the invaders had been ferocious for the hour or so it had lasted. The greatest massacre had taken place at the Tophet Gate, when the protests became a riot and the riot became a battlefield. Cyrene watched from the haven of a nearby church, though there hadn't been much to see. Citizens cut down and culled, all for the crime of daring to defend their homes. A battle tank of cobalt and bronze fired at the Tophet Gate itself, and though the slaughter was a tragedy, this was raw desecration. Grinding the dead beneath its treads, the tank fired a salvo at the towering structure. Its cannons left pain scars across Cyrene's sight, but she couldn't look away. The Tophet Gate fell, its marble bulk breaking into segments after it pounded into the plaza. A fortune in white stone and gold leaf, a monument to the God Emperor's true angels, shattered by invaders claiming to be loyal to the Imperium. Cyrene could make out the unmoving bodies of fallen statues toppled from the fallen gate. She knew them well, having attended many midnight markets in Tophet Plaza. Each time, marble angels had stared down at her from their places carved into the gate's surface. Slanted, featureless eyes watched without blinking. Wingless suits of armor were rendered with exquisite skill in the smooth stone. These were not the false feathered angels of ancient Terran myth, but holiness incarnate. The angels of death, formed in the fearful aspect of a god emperor, his shadows, his sons, the bearers of the word. Through the dust, heretic silhouettes drifted closer to the tank.
"The warrior kings of Ultramar," Cyrene had murmured in that moment. "The 13th Legion."
Blasphemers all. Their resemblance to the bearers of the word only compounded their impurity. Planetary Vox was down. She'd heard from a street vendor that the invaders destroyed all of Kerr's satellites before they came through the clouds. True or not, contact with other cities, even within Monarchia itself, was limited to word of mouth.
"They rose up in Kwame District," the vendor insisted. "Not just Tophet, Gulshia too. Hundreds dead, perhaps thousands."
He shrugged, as if such things were mere curiosities.
"I'm leaving tonight. There's no hope fighting devils, Shul Asher."
Cyrene said nothing, though she smiled at his gentlemanly use of her profession's archaic title. But what was there to say? The invaders had the city in lockdown. The seeds of rebellion would never take root in such unfertile ground. District by district, the exodus from Monarchia began after those first purges. Once the gates were opened, a ceaseless flood of humanity spilled from the city. By nightfall, the mass evacuation was fully underway. Monarchia's wealthiest citizens, most of them merchants or high-ranking clergymen serving as speakers of the word, secured their own transportation, leaving the city for secondary estates in other towns. The morning air above Monarchia was dense with shuttlecraft boosting away to other havens, ferrying the rich, the important, the economically vital, and the spiritually enlightened to sanctuary elsewhere. Cyrene hadn't left yet. In truth, she wasn't certain she would leave. She stood on the balcony of her second-floor habitation pod, somewhere between a room and a cell in the gyro apartment block, in one of the cheapest parts of town. The nearby speaker towers blared their message over and over.
"Strict weight allowances are in effect for personal belongings on the evacuation craft. All residents of Enaga District are to report to Yale Shah Skyport or the 12th Trade Gate immediately. Strict weight allowances are..."
Cyrene tuned out the warnings, watching the people flocking through the streets below, strangling traffic with their slow marching queues. There, at the end of the street, one of the 13th Legion directed the herds of people like livestock. In its hands, the false angel carried the same weapon as its brothers, the massive rifle with its supply of explosive ammunition. Cyrene leaned on the balcony's railing, bearing witness to the eternal theatre of oppressor and oppressed, of conquerors and the conquered. Her district was due to be evacuated by tomorrow morning. The process was stilted, with a great deal of curses cried out and lamentations heaped upon the silent false angels.
"Strict weight allowances are in effect," the speakers boomed again.
Those vox towers had been used for the city's thrice daily prayer readings, speaking words of tolerance and enlightenment to all sheltering within the city. Now their holiness was perverted as they served as the invaders' mouthpieces. Too late, Cyrene saw she'd been noticed. The air turned thicker and hotter from engine wash as a small skycraft drifted over the street at the same level as her balcony. A two-man vehicle, its skin formed from sloping blue armour, was suspended on whining turbines as it weaved through the air. The false angels, seated in its cockpit, scanned the second-level windows of the buildings as they passed. Cyrene's shiver threatened to become a tremble, yet she remained where she was. The craft hovered closer. Rotor fans blew hot air from the craft's anti-gravitational engines. The false angel in the gunner seat leaned forward, adjusting a hidden control on his armor's collar.
"Citizen!"
The warrior's vox voice was a raw bark over the speeder craft's engine.
"This sector is being evacuated. Proceed to street level immediately."
Cyrene took a breath and didn't move. The warrior glanced at his companion in the pilot's seat, then looked back to Cyrene in her quiet defiance.
"Citizen, this sector is being evac..."
"I heard you,"
Cyrene said, loud enough to carry over the craft's infernal din.
"Proceed to street level immediately,"
the warrior said.
"Why are you doing this?"
she asked, her voice still raised. The gunner shook his head and gripped the handles of a massive caliber weapon mount, aiming it directly at Cyrene. The young woman swallowed. The gun's muzzle was the size of her head. Every bone in her body gave a panic twinge, pleading she run.
"Why are you doing this?" she demanded, drowning her fear with anger. "What sins have stained us all that we must leave our homes? We are loyal to the Imperium. We are loyal to the God Emperor."
The false angels remained unmoving for several seconds. Cyrene closed her eyes, waiting for the hammer-hard impact that would spell her destruction. Despite the moment, she felt a smile tickling her lips. This was an insane way to die. There'd be nothing left to bury.
"Citizen!"
She opened her eyes. The warrior had lowered the cannon's aim.
"The Emperor, beloved by all, ordered the 13th Legion here and mandated our actions. Look at us. Look upon our armor and the weapons we bear. We are his warriors and we do his will. Proceed to street level and evacuate the district."
"The God Emperor demanded that we abandon our lives?"
The warrior snarled. It was a crackling machine growl, only rendered human by the hint of anger within. This was the first emotion Cyrene had heard from the invaders.
"Proceed to street level."
The warrior brought the cannon to bear again.
"Now! I will slay you where you stand if you cast your ignorant heathen words once more over the name of the Emperor, beloved by all."
Cyrene spat over the side of the balcony.
"I will go, only because I seek illumination. I will find the truth in all this, and I pray there will come a reckoning."
"The truth will be revealed,"
the warrior said as the craft made ready to hover away.
"At sunrise on the seventh day, turn and look back to your city. You will witness the illumination you crave."
And so dawned the seventh day. The lightning sky found Cyrene Valantion standing atop a rise in the Galahe foothills. Her traditional dress, hidden beneath a long jacket, clutched tightly against the worsening autumn wind. Her hair blew free in a mane, and she watched the utterly silent, utterly still city to the east. In the last hours, burning blurs had floated upwards, each one a landing craft belonging to the 13th Legion, each one returning to the heavens now that their warrior's work was done. With creeping inevitability, the sun reached the horizon. Pale gold, cold for all its gentle brightness, spilled over the minarets and domes of Monarchia. A city of unrivaled beauty, the spear tips of its 10,000 towers turned golden by the dawn.
"Holy blood,"
the young woman whispered, unable to find her voice and feeling the wet warmth of tear trails on her cheeks. To think that mankind could create such marvels.
"Holy blood of the God Emperor."
The sky grew brighter still, too bright, too fast. Barely past dawn, it was already becoming as bright as noon. Cyrene raised her head, watching with weeping eyes as the clouds of heaven lit up with the second sunrise. She saw the fire fall from the sky, lances of unbelievable light spearing into the perfect city from above the clouds. But she did not watch for long. The sun spear's incomparable brightness stole her sight after only the first few moments, leaving her in darkness as she listened to the sounds of a city dying. The world shook beneath Cyrene's feet, casting her to the ground. Worst of all, her eyes itched as they failed, and the last clear sight she ever saw was Monarchia in ruin, its towers falling into the flames. Blind and betrayed by fate, Cyrene Valantion cried out to the heavens and prayed for a reckoning, while the city of her birth burned.